T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think people forget what a massive hit this was for Whitney Houston. This is like one of the longest running number one singles of all time in music. This thing was a monster hit. Of course, the Dolly Parton cover. The funny part, you know, she covered this. She covered I'm Every Woman on this, on the Bodyguard soundtrack. So a lot of good songs. Oh, I'm distracted again, Brian. My new favorite anchor is up here on TV. Anyway.
Yeah, I played the song for a reason.
Yeah. Another hour to go. Don't forget, go to 929thegame.com. Brian's got the first hour online. We got our Falcons topic up there as well. We'll talk about the Falcons after this segment. We get through picking Chuck Reese's brain and all that good stuff. So listen to us live. Download your radio.com app. That way you can stream us anywhere you go, on your tablet, on your phone, whatever device that you've got. All of our social media at 929thegame. We got Instagram, we got Twitter, we got Facebook, MySpace, Tinder, Grindr, Bumble, Match. We got Farmer's Party. We got everything you need. Zoosk, Plenty of Fish. We got everything that you need. eHarmony. It's all at 929thegame. I am on Twitter. That would be at JMCH316 if you want to follow along with all my smarminess and sarcasm that we put out there. I try to put that out for you on Twitter as well. But as Randy McMichael is at the beach and doesn't want to be part of our show and doesn't like us and likes to rub it in our face that he's on vacation, we turn the tables and we do something that we're going to call Pick Chuck Reese's Brain. As our guest questionnaire and producer, Brian Gebhardt, actually does some work for once on one of our shows, he's got 10 questions.
All right, 10 questions for the co-captain of hashtag Team Have Not, the 2018 seventh man of the year at 92.9 The Game, co-host of the best college football show in the country. That's College Football Game Time.
Did you say that louder so Sean could
Sean knows. He knows. He knows. Biggest heel in Atlanta sports radio.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed son of the South, even though he's a jabroni from the Midwest. We'll let you know a minimum of 3 times in any show that he's from Canton, Ohio. Maybe you don't do that as much when you're by yourself. You got to have someone else there to tell.
Well, there's so much of a football tie-in to Canton, Ohio, that's usually where it boils down to. So, by the way, did you see Matt Campbell of Perry High School got 6 offers from NFL teams, supposedly?
No one cares about any of that. Okay. Basketball and track star. Yes, I said basketball and track star for the Jackson High Polar Bears back in the day. Known by the soccer community as Doc Sock.
Yep.
Constantly working on his Star 94 demo reel.
Yep.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's spirit animal.
Yep.
President of the Wendy Corona fan club. And now maybe the Lauren Posen fan club as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
President of both of those.
Yep.
May have to choose one day. Maybe that'll be the next Pick Chuckery's Brain question.
Mm.
A guy who is not allowed to park in the parking deck.
I can answer that already.
He pays to park it.
Nobody will replace Wendy Corona.
She's number one. Yeah. It's like a clear-cut power ranking.
That is truly my biggest woman crush on planet Earth.
Okay. Does interviews with guys like Mike Vick, but doesn't get any credit for
it. Thank you, Knox.
Most importantly and finally, co-host with Brian Estridge's go-to color analyst, Randy McMichael.
Yep, for all your bowl game coverage. Absolutely.
All right, I'm playing into your Windians, as you like to call it, fandom. Cleveland Indians, that is. Omar Vizquel or Ozzie Smith?
Oh, Omar. I'll take Omar. Omar's my guy. Very underrated at the plate. He had like 400 stolen bases. He's as good defensively even as Ozzie. As crazy as it sounds, Omar's every bit as good defensively. Just Omar's my guy. Was great in the number two spot. He led the league 5 times in sacrifice bunts, moving Kenny Lofton along in that lineup for Bell and Tommy and Ramirez to drive him home. So I'm a Vizquel guy. I think Vizquel should be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm a Vizquel guy all the way.
All right.
Screw Ozzie Smith. Screw the Wizard.
All right. I thought that was going to be a little closer, but I figured you might go that route. So that's what we start off with.
There you go. Right
there. All right. Favorite movie that came out in the last 10 years?
So are you counting? Does it have to be 2009 or we can go to 2008?
I'll give you 2008.
Okay.
Since one obviously popped in your head.
The Dark Knight.
Okay.
The Dark Knight came out in 2008. That is probably one of my, you know, well, it's certainly in my top 10 favorite movies of all time. So after that, oh, my God. I'll tell you probably what's been my favorite was that first Star Wars reboot. What is it? The Force Awakens?
I don't know. I can't keep up with all that.
Yeah, The Force Awakens. That was pretty good. The last James Bond movie was kind of disappointing. Although, let me say, because Skyfall would have come out. When did Skyfall come out? You said 10 years, right?
Yeah, Skyfall. Wasn't Skyfall like 06, maybe, something like that? Or was it sooner than that?
2012. So,
oh, okay.
Let's say Skyfall.
Never mind.
Yeah, let's say Skyfall.
Okay.
You know, I'm a huge James Bond fan. It's my favorite movie franchise of all time. Very much looking forward to the next James Bond movie, which I guess is going to be February of next year now. It's going to be another year before we get a James Bond movie. So I'm going to say Skyfall. If we're counting from 2009 forward, Skyfall, if you give me 08, The Dark Knight.
Number one place in the U.S. you want to go visit besides New York. That was your answer yesterday. That was the number one spot. What else?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you the one place that I would like to go see is I would like to go see the Grand Canyon. I would like to go see the Grand Canyon. I wouldn't even mind. I think they got like tours you can do on the Colorado River and stuff like that as well through there. So the whole Grand Canyon thing and all that. I you know, the other place I've kind of thought about too is Boston is a city I'd like to go see. I haven't been to Boston. I'd like to go see Boston. And I would like to go see Mount Rushmore. I would like to see Mount Rushmore. But probably the Grand Canyon and going on the Colorado River, I'd love to do some kind of tour. Now, I'll tell you what, kind of like one of my sort of, and I know I'm going sidetracked, but I get so many things in my head. I would really love to do a riverboat cruise up the Mississippi River, one of those Civil War riverboat cruises that they do. Like you start New Orleans, end up in Memphis, but they hit all the Civil War spots along the way. As I am a son of the South, I want to learn more about the history and everything.
The question was only one, John.
Okay.
You're going too many here.
Okay.
Boston, by the way, I mean, you know, we knock it here, and their fans are obnoxious, and they've won a bunch of championships, but it is a really cool place as far as, I mean, I know you're a big history guy.
Right.
You love all that stuff. It's fun to go for a couple days.
Yes.
Check out all that. Radio personality outside of this station and outside of the market that you would most like to host a radio show with?
Oh, boy. I would love to meet Howard Stern. Can we go that high?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to meet Howard Stern. I mean, I grew up as a kid listening to when you could at, you know, Howard was very polarizing on what stations. You know, he wasn't in the South and still not in the South. But before his satellite days, when he was up in, I forget what station in New York, they would do like a replay on the weekends on one of the Cleveland Rock stations, and I would listen to it. I would love to meet Howard Stern because, you know, I think Howard Stern, Brian, I don't know if you listen to Howard Stern at all, he is the best interviewer in all of entertainment. I mean, radio, he is the best interviewer that there is. His interviews, when he gets those celebrities in for an hour, are tremendous.
Love Howard Stern. Believe the one in New York was, I still listen to him from time to time, WNBC.
Well, that was, yeah, but right? But that was, he left WNBC, though, to go to...
Then he went to, I forget the path,
I forget what the New York station was, but let me tell you, I remember watching his original WOR TV show that he did. He did a skit parody TV show that on WOR, where he'd dress up as Larry King and do different stuff. That's where the Kabasi Queen, if you remember that, that's where she made her appearance and everything.
Nice. Good answer. John Smoltz or Chipper Jones?
Give me Smoltz. Smoltz was such a big game pitcher that I'll take Smoltz. Give me that big game starter. Chipper had his moments, but he also disappeared sometimes. Give me Smoltz.
So just you're saying you hate one of the
yes.
best switch hitters of all time
yeah.
in Atlanta
although,
legend? Just to make sure.
Although to be clear, I did buy Chipper a beer at Cowboys in Kennesaw one night when I ran into him and he was hanging out at the like you know those beer carts.
Yeah.
By the way, Stone Cold had a great match at the Georgia Dome. Jim Ross and Stone Cold Steve Austin
don't
versus
wrestling into
Triple
this.
H in China, and they fought, and Stone Cold threw him in the beer cart in the nacho truck. Anyway, I did buy Chipper a beer at Cowboys Nightclub in Kennesaw.
Was it a Bud Ice?
Yeah. I'm still recovering from all that.
Only you would take a John Smoltz, Chipper Jones question and turn it into wrestling somehow. All right, favorite female musical group of all time?
Female musical group?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you count Heart as a female musical group because the two sisters were the front women? Does that count? Or does that have to be all
female
women?
All female.
Then I probably got with the Go-Go's. It's either the Go-Go's or the Bengals, right? Is there any other ones?
Unless you go newer. Unless you go like a TLC or like a Destiny's Child or somebody
okay,
like that.
Okay, so you're not just talking. So, okay, so you're talking about.
I mean, it could be any sort of group.
Okay, okay.
Three or more females.
No, I tell you what, I'll switch it up. I'll go with TLC. I was a really big TLC fan. I still think that No Scrub song is just tremendous. I just that whole vibe of that song. I would love to meet that Candy Burris that wrote it, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, and just talk to her about that. So there you go.
Jessica Biel or Jessica Alba?
Oh boy. Boy, I had a real thing for Jessica Alba. I'm gonna take Jessica Alba. Yeah, when they were in their peak prime, I think I was much more of a Jessica Alba. What was that TV show that she did?
I'm not sure which one Alba did. The TV show? Is it the one that where she became a star? Because I don't even remember necessarily where she came from. Obviously, Beale, Seventh Heaven, that whole route. She's had a couple shows recently there as well. Feels like Alba's disappeared a bit.
Dark Angel.
Oh, okay.
Dark Angel was the show, yes. So, I'm going to take Jessica Alba.
So is that like a Buffy the Vampire type of show? Is it
sort of
like that?
Yeah, okay. Something like that,
All right, a couple more here for you. College football stadium you haven't been to yet that you really want to go to?
Baton Rouge. I mean, LSU. There's no question I want to go. The two places I want to go the most, Baton Rouge number one and Oxford number two. I want to go to Ole Miss, go to the Grove and all that. But no question, LSU is the one place that I have not been that I want to go see. LSU night game. I don't care if they're playing Southern Technical State, University. I want to go to Baton Rouge at night.
I got a chance to go once, not this past year, but about 10 years ago when Georgia played out there. It was a 3:30 CBS game. But when you talk about the craziest fans anywhere, they are the craziest fans. I will give them that title for sure.
And Ole Miss is the second place that I want to go.
Yeah, Ole Miss is number one on my list. Most underrated athlete in Atlanta sports history. We did overrated yesterday. Who's the most underrated Atlanta sports athlete?
Most underrated. Oh, boy. I was trying to think of the Falcons. Maybe Harper LaBelle falls into that mix. That's a good question. Underrated. He gets a lot of love. I think he was a better running back than maybe even because it was so short. Maybe William Andrews, although a lot of people here love William Andrews, but William Andrews, when he was at the top of his game, was just tremendous. And I don't think enough people appreciate how good in his prime William Andrews was. I may have to think about that for a minute.
All right, but you can come back.
First blush would be like William Andrews. I'm not sure he gets enough love from people.
I'm sure you'll kick around a few in the break and come back with one or two others. All right, last one.
We could go Fulton Kuykendall. We could go Meet Mitchell.
If Randy Mack.
Bo Bach. There you go. Let's go with Bo Bach.
If Randy Mack left 92.9 the game, who at the station? I'll throw out Chris Goforth, too, because he does the college football show with you. Who would you want to co-host a show with on a regular basis?
Oh, Rob. You tell me that people wouldn't love to have the cerebral assassin, Rob. You tell me, Brian, a more fun show that we've had than what the Falcons fly over.
All right, well, I've got to throw Rob out, too, because he's a regular co-host. So you take Rob out of the mix. Who's next for you?
Does it have to be here at the station?
Yes, it does.
Well, we don't do Church League All-Stars. So, I would probably say John Michaels and I. I think John Michaels and I would have a good time. Hugh, too. I could get Hugh to have some fun. Hugh and I would be a pretty good combination as well. I get Hugh to have some fun and laugh. I wouldn't be so serious and everything. So, and he would have to do Hugh's world. He wouldn't have a choice. I'd be forced on him. So there you go. Another successful pick, Chuckery's brain. When we get back, the Falcons are making moves, but are they the right moves? We'll talk about that next in the Kia Studios. Chuckery till 1, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Sports Radio The Game.
Oh, man. Give me some Camu and a cigar right now. Put this on. Donnie and Roberta. This is great music right here. Roberta Flack's birthday today, part of the music theme. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios hanging out with you till 1 o'clock. Rob Tribble coming up next on the show. Good stuff. Well, it's been an interesting last week here for the Atlanta Falcons as before we even really get into free agency season and before we get into probably a lot more moves and stuff. The Falcons already making a lot of news with the moves that they've made, specifically Ryan Alford, Brooks Reed, and, of course, kicker Matt Bryant all not being brought back for next season. So while the Falcons are making moves, are they making the right moves to go along with this offseason? You know, when it comes to Brooks Reed, for a guy, and he just signed, by the way, a one-year deal with Arizona for like $2 million. The reality is that if you can save some bucks on a Brooks Reed and, you know, get another player maybe for a little bit less money, that move's fine. Brooks Reed's a very spot situational type of player. There's a lot of guys who can do what Brooks Reed does. You get one good play out of Brooks Reed, and then he doesn't give you anything for 10 more plays. I mean, so when you're talking about guys like that, those guys are so hit or miss. There's so many interchangeable parts on something like that. That's where you trust Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff to find a veteran, or you draft a young guy on the cheap, and you get that guy to come in and play that some kind of role. Guy who can give you maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 snaps and maybe make a play here, make a play there. So not really much of a loss there. The Robert Alford thing, interesting. He will start for Arizona. Got $24 million. God bless you. He, I think, got $16.5 million guaranteed out of all of that. Can't argue with the guy getting money. But is Robert Alford a $9 million corner? No, he's not. But this is where you see when we talk about Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, the Monday through Saturday part of this organization. This is where this all comes together, where you don't have a huge cap hit, because a dead money cap hit because of cutting Alford, and you save a good bit of money, but you have a progression plan in place. You drafted Isaiah Oliver in the second round. He goes through his ups and downs, just like any rookie corner in the NFL, a tough position to adjust to. He gets a year to learn and play some, but now going in that second year, You brought this guy in and developed him to be that number two corner. He doesn't have to be the number one corner on your team, but you develop him and bring him number two. While at the same time, DeMonte KZ, who had kind of his breakout season last year, I think second in the league in interceptions or something like that. Well, now you have a situation where you maybe can slide him down as a nickel corner because he has played corner before in college. He played corner and safety. You know, he's played mostly safety here, but you have a guy that now can get more plays on the field to help you. You still got Brian Poole. You still are going to have, obviously, Keanu Neal coming back. So from a safety standpoint, even if you have to rotate Kamal Ishmael where he comes down as linebacker, or you know he kind of plays that hybrid position, you have guys that you can use and put in place to fill the roles that you need. That's how you get successful in the NFL is, okay, I can lose a guy a year early and save some money, but I have a progression plan in place. That's exactly what this is with Robert Alford. You got 6 years out of Robert Alford. You got what you got out of him. And reality is that you can't give $9 million to a guy who, in the last 3 years, no cornerback in the NFL has given up more yards, more first downs, and committed more penalties than Robert Alford. It is what it is. You can argue back and forth about why that is or what the stats say or don't say. You can get into all that discussion all you want. But the reality is that to give $9 million of cap space to a guy that does that, and let's put it this way, if Isaiah Oliver gives up the most yards and first downs and commits the most penalties, that's the same thing Robert Alford did. Now, Robert Alford had obviously one of the huge plays of all time in the Super Bowl in his interception of Tom Brady. Could have been one of the great plays of all time in Falcons history had it all worked out right. But you got all you can out of Robert Alford. So this makes total sense, especially when you look at the progression of how you develop your roster to move on from a high-priced guy that maybe isn't at his money level and you have the succession plan in place. I'm all good with that move. And I admit, part of it is I'm not the biggest Robert Alford guy. Never have been. I think my camp has always been, I don't think Alford's as good as some people say he is, and I think Desmond Trufant is better than most people say that he is. Now, Trufant's had his issues since the injury the last couple of years and had a huge drop against Cincinnati, among others, that really could have changed the dynamic of one of those games. So I get it. I'm not telling you Trufant's perfect, but I still think Desmond Trufant, when healthy, is still a very, very good cornerback in this league. That all makes sense. The one that I do have the issue and the problem with is a Matt Bryant. To me, when you have a guy that's as clutch and as good as what Matt Bryant has been, he's not a $10 million cap hit. Yeah, I get it. He's 4.4 or something like that, and you pick up a couple of million dollars. But the money that you save in cap room and all that kind of stuff, you have to be very careful what you wish for and be very careful about being short-sighted with a move like that. It's easy to say, well, Tavecchio came in and in his three games did this and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but when it's squarely on your shoulders, and we've talked again, this is a Super Bowl or bust team. There's not a chance in the world. We get to training camp. If God willing, I'm here, and God willing, I'm employed, and it's Randy McMichael and I. You never know, Brian. I mean, we're losing so many people here. I may have to be a guest on Church League All-Stars the rate we're going. But anyway, if we get to camp and it's Randy and I promise you, my mantra is not going to be less than Super Bowl or bust. This organization is not getting a pass from me for all of this. So that has to be the expectation, because we've developed that and we have our quarterback and all that kind of stuff. You saw what it meant to have a really good clutch kicker, and you saw what the Rams had. Zuerlein, is that what we determined, Brian, his name was? Lance Zuerlein, right? Is that right?
Greg Zuerlein,
right, same thing. His middle name is Lance, right? He goes by Lance in the locker room. Greg Zuerlein, though, was a weapon, and you saw that kick against the Saints. You need guys that can be clutch, and I think having a veteran in those kinds of moments is a real advantage. Not that DeVecchio can't be a really good kicker for this team, but you're talking about a guy that has been as money and clutch, and maybe 2 years ago was the best offensive piece that this organization had. You have to be real careful about how quickly you give up on somebody. And I think if I was the Atlanta Falcons, I would have tried to squeeze one more year out of Matt Bryant. And I got people on Twitter, well, he's not been healthy. All right, he missed three games last year. He was still 20 for 21 in field goals last year. Other than last year, the last 3 years, he's played every game. He's only had like 3 years in his entire career where he hasn't had 16 games that he's kicked. I get it. There's always that factor of, as a guy gets older, the injury risk and things like that. But I think Matt Bryant still had one more year available to him to make a difference on this franchise. And I think that's where you have to be careful is, we talk about giving up on guys maybe a year before. I think you did that with Alford. But maybe you give up on guys a year too soon. That's my fear about Matt Bryant. Did you give up on him maybe 1 year too soon, given what we're trying to do? Now, maybe Tavecchio comes in and he is 34 for 35 and, it works out great and he becomes a clutch kicker. If it does, it does. I mean, I hope. We certainly need it. But let him miss a couple of kicks, and it will be very quickly in the social media world about why we get rid of Matt Bryant. I promise you, this is a guy who's not going to get, and I know it sounds strange to say kicker. People already don't like kickers, and they're already looking for an excuse and a reason to hate on kickers, okay, Mac and Z. But, Let him miss a couple of field goals, and you will very quickly see how people will turn on a Tavecchio very quickly. Let him miss a field goal that doesn't win a game or doesn't give you a cushion or doesn't do something, and you will see that. Let him miss an extra point or two. That's I think there's a lot of pressure on him to do that. I just think that it would have made sense to get one more year out of Matt Bryan. Now, I don't think the Falcons are done. Obviously, March 1st or whatever that date is a huge decision for the Atlanta Falcons. Do you keep Vic Beasley in place and guarantee all $12.8 million? Or do you move on? Or do you try to renegotiate and extend him out? That is a big moving piece in part. I think the Falcons have definitely more changes coming, and that's typical. I mean, every NFL team is going to have those kinds of moving piece and parts. The reality is the New England Patriots do it every single year. You know, people say, well, we should be more like the Patriots. Well, this is what the Patriots do, is that they move and replace guys, and sometimes a year late, sometimes a year early. You know, that's what they do. That's their hallmark, and they change their roster around all the time. What do they keep in place? Their head coach and their quarterback. And a lot of pieces move around for them. Right now, we've decided to bring our head coach back, and we certainly know our quarterback is in place. So what you do from there is change up the roster and reconfigure it, if you will, or retool it, or whatever people want to say. Doesn't lower expectations, but at the same time, that's what all good rosters do. Rams did it, by the way, going into this season. All right, let's get ready for pitchers and catchers to report. Hey, what are some of the things the Braves need to continue doing, and who needs to step up this year for the Braves to continue taking that next step forward? Talk a little Braves baseball with you. Chuck Reed in the house in the Kia Studios till 1 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The
Game. I don't know why I like it. I just do.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios with you on a Sunday now afternoon. Chuck Reed hanging out with you. Got Rob Tribble coming up at 1 o'clock today. Lots more fun sports talk. Told you. See, this could be, I could be on B98.5 or Peach 94.9, Fox 97. I can do those stations because they play this kind of stuff.
A couple of them don't exist anymore.
Well, but. Listen, it doesn't matter. Listen, you're nitpicking now. You're nitpicking. You know, I'll be on Quixie and Dixie. I don't care.
I definitely could have heard you lead into Delilah back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. One of my ex-girlfriends used to listen to Delilah all the time, like every night. Like after about an hour of that show, you just like want to take your head and smash it into a hydraulic press, you know. So, other than that, it was great. By the way, wasn't she like divorced with four kids or something like that too, or something like that? Wasn't that kind of like the real? It's like Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil's over here giving marriage advice, and he's been married like four times.
Delilah.
Yeah. And she'd come on there all lovey and doing something for your significant other. Meanwhile, she's like divorced with four kids. Right? I'm just saying, she's like the old mother in a shoe. I mean, I'm just, you know. Like I said, Dr. Phil's the same way, right? Dr. Phil, I can help you out there. He's given marriage advice. He's been married like four times. You know, thanks, Doc. You know, I mean, I've had my starter wife too. What does that do for me? You know? Anyway, always an interesting discussion on these shows. Braves, spring training, getting ready to kick off. Pitchers and catchers reporting this week. By this weekend, we will actually have some Braves stuff going on. You know, it was a very successful season, I thought, last year for the Braves. I don't think anybody could deny that. Obviously, the emergence of many of the young guys, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., getting to see him come out. And Markakis gave them a great year last year in what was supposed to be his walk year. But, of course, we don't let anybody do that because our general manager still has his suspenders on. And let's bring back all the old guys. You know, when you start to look ahead to the Braves, and we'll get more into this conversation as the weather warms up and we actually get into some meaningful baseball, some of the things I think that has to happen for this Braves team to help start taking that next step forward. Number one is they need their starting pitching staff to take those leaps forward. Everybody keeps wanting to go out and try to get this quote-unquote big-name starting pitcher. You're supposed to have those guys in place. You've spent the last 5 years drafting and developing these guys for this moment. Mike Foltynewicz was an all-star last year. 13-10, 2.85 ERA, 202 strikeouts in 183 innings. I need him to continue to take that progress forward. I need Sean Newcomb, or I need Mike Soroka, one of those two guys to clearly establish themselves as a number two starting pitcher on this rotation. I think Julio Teheran is what he is. He's about a 500 pitcher, around a 4 ERA. He'll give you some innings. He pitched 175. But at this point, the ship has sailed on Julio Teheran is the next big thing. I think Mike Foltynewicz, Newcomb, Soroka are the three guys that really have to take a step forward. And there's no reason why Mike Foltynewicz can't be an ace. Everybody loves to throw that term around, ace. How many aces are there really in all of Major League Baseball? That list is pretty short. You know, if you're not Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, I mean, that's like the three top guys. It drops off. Verlander may be in that mix probably as well. You know, but then you get the next group of guys. Yeah, one of those guys like Garrett Cole, you know, who the Astros did pick up. He's a terrific young pitcher. You know, can Mike Foltynewicz take that Garrett Cole kind of step forward? Can he be that one of those top kinds of guys? But Jake Arrieta is a name, but he's not an ace right now. Madison Bumgarner is not the same pitcher that he was, and he's banged up. Dallas Keuchel's a guy who can't stay healthy. Guy was in a walking boot two seasons ago, in the World Series was in a walking boot. People want Dallas Keuchel. There aren't as many of those guys. Strasburg hasn't developed into that. I mean, Scherzer's the best pitcher on that staff. Strasburg's very, very good. He ain't Scherzer. Ain't many guys. I can tell you this. You'd be hard-pressed to get me to take anybody over Max Scherzer in Major League Baseball today. That includes Kershaw and Sale. Sale's just as good as it gets. And the way they got Chris Sale is they had to give up the number one prospect in baseball. You want resources, you have to give things up. So if you weren't willing to trade your prospects and you weren't willing to part with those guys, then those prospects have to start stepping up. You still don't have a guy who can effectively close out games. Yeah, I know Vizcaino had 16 saves. Minter had 15 saves. That's 31 between those two guys. Did I tell you that that's 11 less than Craig Kimbrel got you? Just saying. You still need, I think, a guy to really establish himself on the back end of the bullpen. What I would like to have, honestly, Vizcaino and Minter be are that 7th and 8th setup guys where you get those lefty-righty matchups and you can match them up in situational pitching. Then go right into your hammer from there. I think that is the best scenario that they can come up with. Because the guys, the Sam Freemans and the Dan Winklers and the Jesse Biddles and Luke Jacksons and, you know, those kinds of guys and Peter Moylan that they trot out there, you know, I mean, it's rough at times shortening up the game with your good arms. Now, I hope Gausman comes back and gives them that good fourth, fifth kind of starter. I hope he fits into that role because, obviously, you don't have Brandon McCarthy. You don't have Anibal Sanchez. So you're losing some guys that gave you some valuable innings at times on the back end of your rotation. The other guy, too, I think offensively, there's two things that stick out to me offensively. Well, maybe more than two, but let me start with one is if you're going to put Ender Inciarte back in the leadoff spot, you need more than 265 with a 325 on base percentage. 28 stolen bases, 83 runs, those aren't bad numbers at all. 10 homers, 61 RBIs, those are tremendous numbers. 325 on base percentage in the leadoff spot isn't going to cut it. And especially when you're telling me that Josh Donaldson's hitting the middle of your order and you got Acuna and Freddie Freeman and Josh Donaldson in the middle of your order, you got to have guys on base. You got to have guys on base. I am very curious to see, because I'm not 100% convinced that Ozzie Albies is a 24-homer, 72 RBI second baseman. Now, if you're telling me he's going to become Francisco Lindor, who didn't do those kinds of numbers in the minors and is now a 30-homer hitting shortstop, I'm all in. I don't know. I got to see it for more than the 1 year out of Ozzie Albies that he's a 20-homer type of second baseman, a run-producing type of second baseman. So Enciarte, to me, is one of the big keys because he's going back to hitting leadoff. Whether you agree with that or not agree with that, that's what it's going to be. And I'm okay with not putting in the Acuna spot, leadoff spot, because to me, he's too much of a big run producer. Ronald Acuna, to me, is going to be a 35, 110, you know, kind of player. If you got a guy that's 35 and 110, you don't hit him leadoff. You don't hit him leadoff. By the way, his on-base percentage, 2.366. That's exactly what you hope that Enciarte can be. But I need his 293, 26 homers. I need that in the middle of my lineup. I need him protecting Freddie and Donaldson, because I don't trust Josh Donaldson. I will be the first guy to tell you, I don't trust the idea that you're going to get 150 games out of Josh Donaldson. I'll believe all that when I see it. The other thing is, what do you get out of Nick Markakis? He's now going to be 35 years old, and he had a career year last year. First time All-Star, it was a great story. But guys, understand, that was a career year for Nick Markakis in a lot of ways. That's one of the best years he's ever had in the big leagues. You just don't typically replicate those kinds of years at 35 years old. You know, his best year, probably 2007, 23 homers, 112 RBIs, hit 300 that year. But this season last year, it's his third highest RBI total that he's had, right in line with his, you know, some of his best years batting average-wise, because he's a .288 career hitter, but .297 above that. I got to see that you can get another 14 homers and 93 RBIs with .297 out of Nick Markakis. Boy, I should have liked to have 40 homers and 100 RBIs in the middle of that lineup. All right, going to wrap things up. It's time for Rob to come up next. Sports Radio 99 The Game.
John and Q, morning 6 till 10.
Ah, yes, Roberta Flack and great Peebo Bryson. As we wrap things up. Well, hopefully the show wasn't underwater today, Brian. We made it through swimmingly. Whitney Houston, part of the music theme today, by the way. Told you, Brian, I cracked myself. Oh, boy.
I'm sure it'll blow over.
Yeah. You know, listen. Just, you know, keep your head above water if you can. Anyway, Rob Tribble coming up next. For your listening pleasure. So we'll be back with you next weekend, Randy and I. Braves going to have pitchers and catchers report. So Major League Baseball about ready to get things going. AAF football. I don't even know who Atlanta takes on next week or weekend. I don't even know when their next game is. Like I said, I don't anticipate to invest a lot of time and effort into watching it. But listen, it's good to have some football out there. We'll move very quickly. Believe it or not, we're very rapidly moving toward the end of this month, and then we can get into free agency in March for sure. You know, plenty of moves to be had then, as Arizona's taking all of our cast-offs already with us out there. Cardinals just soaking up every former Falcon that they can. They seem to do a lot of that. So Robert Alford and Brooks Reed.
They did steal the Rise Up mantra. They used that for a while.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's why people are playing up that whole thing, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it looks like they really do rise up out there in Arizona. So,
okay. Well, listen, whatever you got to do. So all good stuff with you. What else we got to wrap things up? Because we got to kill like half a minute, you know, here.
I can just start playing Whitney Houston now.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, we'll just, you know, swim our way through it. We'll do whatever we got to do, you know. Oh, boy. So bad. There you go. A little Whitney Houston to end your day out there. So, all right. Rob's going to try to come in here and crack you all up if he can in the next few hours. We will catch you next weekend with Randy Mac back in the house. See you. Bye.
From the moment I saw you, I went out of my mind. Oh, I never believed in love at first sight. But you got a magic ball that I just can't explain.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.